Long Island's 104.7 WHLI at your service presents Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner, powered by PSEG Long Island on the new 104.7 WHLI. Now your host, Randy Shubin-Dresner.
Hello, my name is Randy Shubin-Dresner, and I'm your host of Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. It's so great to be back at the mic having conversations with you about all the good in our community and giving a platform and a voice to many who don't have it. We're at the WHLI 104.7 studios who give me this platform, and they believe in highlighting good. We know together we can motivate others to do the same. I'm also excited to acknowledge that our shows are powered by PSEG Long Island. As many know, I have the honor to have a great day job as the president and CEO of an amazing nonprofit organization, Island Harvest Food Bank. Our work touches about 300,000 Long Islanders with innovative programs and services all structured to provide opportunity for our neighbors in need to find the resources, support, and guidance that they need to become independent and self-sufficient. And yes, as a food bank, we also distribute well over 15 million pounds of healthy foods each year. You will undoubtedly hear my interweaving notes and topics about our food bank through many of our shows. Today's segment will absolutely highlight how positive influences can shape a child's life. Most of the time, we never know the true impact we have on someone's life. It's often a warm word of support, a smile, encouraging words, a comforting hand on a shoulder, or it might just be being there. The story of today's guest, Norman Gomez Vasquez, is one that highlights the power of just being there for someone. You will hear an incredible story from Norman about his journey to discover himself and how certain community structures and a support network ultimately defined and guided him safely through his childhood into a man who is both giving and caring. Norman has overcome the odds in so many ways. As the firstborn American citizen in his family, he and his mom emigrated back from Columbia to Huntington, New York, for a chance for a better future. There he found an environment that was a very important component of his childhood that, along with his mother, would give him the stability and the structure he needed to become a formidable Marine, having served a tour in Jordan. And now Norman is a successful insurance salesman. He now serves as the director of contract surety at their construction practice at Gallagher Insurance. Norman, I first met you at an event for a well-established organization on Long Island called Family Service League. You were the keynote speaker, and oh my goodness, your speech absolutely wowed me. You spoke eloquently, and you touched on the struggles that you and your family had. It's just great to have you here today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Randy, for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
I want to get some background about you.
Randy, I was born in Queens at a later point in my life. Right before I turned 3, my parents and I moved back to Columbia, at which point my parents divorced when I was roughly 6 years old. My mother decided it was best to return back to the United States. We moved to Huntington, New York to live with my aunt, who was like my second mother. And at that point, I was raised by two loving mothers, my aunt Adiela and my mother, Maria.
And I know because you told me, I asked you if you have any siblings, and it warmed my heart what you said.
Yeah, so I don't have any blood siblings. I was fortunate enough to grow up with a cousin. And my cousin Bryant, he's like my brother. We split a room. We shared a room for some time of our life. And he's my little brother.
It's awesome. And so, you know, you were born here. You went to Columbia. You came back with your mom. And as you talked to me, there were lots of different possibilities for how you might grow up in your community in Huntington, and had a lot of structure in the home and really made sure that you had access to all the right things as you were growing up. And one of them was an after-school program.
Yeah, so when we first got here to America, I didn't know any English. So it was very tough to stay on top of school, to get homework done when nobody in the household spoke or read English either. Luckily, we're in the neighborhood that I grew up. There was an organization across the street from the neighborhood we grew up at that offered and rendered after-school tutoring and homework help. They'd provide children with snacks, and then, you know, after some time, once you complete your homework, you'd go outside and play with other kids at the program. That program was led by Family Service League of Long Island, and that was very crucial to me at an early age, coming from a household that didn't speak any English. And that set up the tools, along with my mother being hardworking and always being on my case to maintain good school grades, to become the man I am today. If it wasn't for that discipline and hard work that my mother and my aunt taught me, along with the other tools provided by Family Service League during my childhood. I can certainly say I wouldn't have possibly gotten an award in 2011 during Hispanic Heritage Month for excellent grades and, you know, just awesome. Being a great student.
You know, when we talk about an after-school program, how and why it's so important to kids in different communities, because an after-school program is not just a place where you go and just sit there. There's some structure in that program, and it really helps to form a lot of structure in your life. When we talked earlier, you spoke about how homework was done at some of the after-school programs. There were activities going on. There were people who potentially could be mentors in those kinds of programs. Tell us a little bit about that. And, you know, when you got off the school bus, you had a place to go.
From my neighborhood, most of my friends, I would say, would go to that same after-school homework help program. Kind of like a thing. You'd get out of off of school and, you know, a group of kids would walk over to what we called it back in the day, La Casita. It would be a place where there would be other students, older students, that would be rendering these services as tutors to us younger students at that point. And that did instill the discipline of, you know, although you don't understand something, you still have to get it done. So you have to find a way. And Family Service League did a great job at providing that and providing a group of other volunteers to help kids that may not be able to understand the language or have difficulties with the language barrier.
You know, a lot of organizations that run after-school programs really look at creating holistic programs. And so you come off the bus after a full day of school, you go over to the after-school program, there are snacks, healthy snacks that they have. And I know over the years, a lot of these programs have really grown and changed a lot. And so even some of the snacks have improved. We at Island Harvest are even supporting some after-school programs by giving healthy snacks so that they could give it out. In some cases, the snack program at after-schools become an incentive for kids to go there, and then they can have the structure in the program. Were there lots of activities, sports, and things that were going on also at your after-school program?
Yes, I think the staff was crucial, very loving staff that cared for us students. I still remember my counselors' names, Lexi and Michelle. You know, I recently had the pleasure of connecting with Michelle, who is now a counselor at Tri-CYA. She scanned over a photo of me from when I was a child. We had attended a field trip to a bowling alley here in Farmingdale, actually. And it just brings back memories. It was more than just homework help. It was more of a
It wasn't a just group a place of, to go. It was La Casita.
It was La Casita.
It was a real place. Right.
And it was, you know, everyone that attended there, you know, we were all friends. We still remain friends. And we got to experience and do things as a group from the community through this organization. Not necessarily because our mothers would hang out and take us out to the beach or to a pool together. It was because it would be everyone from the neighborhood would go to this La Casita and either go to the homework helps or attend whatever right. program they may be running.
You know, so it goes back to something I said as I was introducing you about the impact that we have in people's lives. A young child who's influenced by people around them, you know, you go through a full day of school, you rush home, you're on the bus, you go to an after-school program, you're away from your home for a long period of time, and you're not with your family necessarily, you're with this new family. And so when an older student who's mentoring and involved in the program and tutoring some of the kids, if they give you that additional support, they take a little extra time to help you with your homework or to show you how to kick the ball the right way, it means something to you.
Yeah, so I mean, I look back at it and I still have memories. And, you know, the memories I have is I'd see students in their uniform for school. To this day, I'm not sure exactly who were my tutors during that time, but I only think that it would be students from St. Anthony's or any of those schools within the area of the facility that I used to attend. And those students, I remember, I'm a little 7-year-old, 8-year-old, and, you know, there's maybe a 13-year-old, a ninth grader that's tutoring me. And me as a kid, I'd have so many questions. Like,
right.
you know,
yeah.
Where do you go to school? What do you do?
Right.
You know,
You know what? It's relationships when you're young guide you for the future. When I was very young, I was volunteering at a couple of different organizations. One of them was the March of Dimes. And any bit of spare time I had, I was at the March of Dimes doing volunteer work. And why was I there? Why did I spend my entire childhood there? All I could say is the people that were there just showed me that they cared. They spent a little extra time. They actually talked directly to me, not at me. It made me feel good. And it helped to form me as a person and who I am today. And sounds like a lot of that happened with you at Family Service League and their after-school program.
Yeah, so me, through my experience at Family Service League, I've recognized the importance of giving back to the community and what it really means to be on the receiving end. And now I want to do as much as I can to give back as well.
That's great.
So
well, let's talk about your service, because listen, you went through school, you did incredibly well. You went to college and you did incredibly well. And you always had a dream, you told me, of serving. And you did, you became a Marine. And just talk about what led to all of that.
Growing up, my mother always wanted me to go to college. That was the only route that my mother could see for her son to be a successful individual in society, was to go to college. At that point, I did go to St. John's University. I enrolled in a 5-year accounting program for audit. In that 5-year program, in the first 2 years, I was working full-time and going to school full-time. And it was a little bit tough. And I remember the Marine Corps recruiter would walk around the mall. At that point, I was working at the mall at Express, a clothing store. And the recruiter came by and he asked me, "Hey, you still interested in becoming a Marine?" And I remember looking back at him and just saying, "Yes." And he called me the next day. I went into the office, and this was at a point where I was working roughly 60 hours a week, going to school full time, and I just kind of needed a break from life and society. And I signed up right there and then. I went.
Uh-oh, you had to tell your mother.
No, I didn't even tell my mother. I think April 1st was the actual day I went and did all the MEPS signing. So April 1st, 2014, I went down to MEPS. MEPS is where anyone that's looking to join the armed forces, you go down there for your medical screening. And your ASVAB exam. And I did all of that, took the oath. And then at that point is when I then told my mother that, "Hey, by the way, I leave for boot camp in 2 months."
And FYI, Mom.
Yes.
How'd she take it?
She took it very well. She, at first, she cried a little bit. And then after that, she was very excited and happy. She realized that if this was God's plan for her son, this was God's plan for her son. And she moved forward from it. And, you know, I look back at it now, and it was the best decision I've ever made was joining the Marine Corps at the age of 19. Mm-hmm. It's given me a life and experiences that not many my age could say that they've experienced.
Right. So you served a tour in Jordan, and I know you did a lot of different kinds of work there. You know, just tell me a little bit about what did it take for you and what did it feel like to go from working in a mall, finishing up your work as a student, working in a mall, and now going into the structure of being in the Marines before you even go overseas. That's tough, right?
It was tough. It was some adjusting, but the one piece of advice I got was don't ask any questions and just do as you're told. And if you do exactly just that, you know, the Marine Corps gives you 3 meals a day, they give you a place to sleep at, you have everything provided for you. So it's difficult, but it's not impossible to just follow orders and do as you're told.
But a lot of us are brought up to be independent, self-sufficient, right? And so you have to sort of strip that.
Yeah, so that was the whole boot camp process. You know, you go through boot camp, 90 days, 3 months. And they strip you from who you were as an individual. They make you earn the title Marine. And then from that point, you go on into combat training, which is held in Camp Lejeune. And then from there, you go into your MOS training, which is your military occupation. My occupation in the Marine Corps was transmission operator, which is a fancy word for communications. That exactly was my job in Jordan. I specialized in satellite/transmissions. We just make sure that we're pulling services. From the bird.
So let me give you a little story. My father, who just recently passed away at 100, was in World War II, and he was in a number of different areas, but one of them was communications. Communications back in World War II in the 1940s was very different than where it is today, of course. My father was about 6'4" and was asked to go climb up one of the poles in the communications division and fix some of the wires up there. And when he got up to the top of the pole, he realized at 6'4", I'm a sitting duck up here, and finished quickly what he had to do. And as he got down, he slipped and went down the wooden pole and wound up with splinters all over him, right? So that was his experience. You didn't have that, did you?
No, I didn't have any splints experiences, but I did get hurt overseas. I did have suffer some injuries. I tore my patella tendon while I was overseas. You know, now I'm focusing on my recovery. It's been a year, a little over a year since surgery, and, you know, I'm just excited to be healthy. I mean, you know, if you get hurt, you just... The only thing you could really do is just rub some dirt on it and move on. That's what you got to do.
That's what the Marines teach you, right?
Yes.
Rub some dirt on it and move forward. So you you went through the Marines. You spent some time in Jordan. It's a whole other experience in a different country than it is here in America. But you had a successful tour, and that's exciting. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you've done for our country.
Well, it's always something I wanted to do, so it's my pleasure. You know, those opportunities don't come often, and I'm glad that that's something I was able to be a part of.
So you come back, and you get yourself back in civilian life, and look at you now. Here you are, this young little child that came back to America, and now you are a very successful salesperson in insurance with a really wonderful firm, the Gallagher's Insurance Agency, and you have a specialty, you told me, right?
Yeah, so I specialize in... contract surety, bonding. So while I was going to school for accounting, the connection was made that I analyze financials, so I should step into the bonding space for contractors. Anybody that's doing public work with the government, anything that's funded by taxpayer dollar, has to be backed by a bond. And that's the insurance I underwrite and I sell. So with that, I've been blessed with the ability to connect with veteran-owned businesses and veterans and anybody that wants to support a veteran. And I assist those business owners with obtaining bonding and managing their insurance needs so that they could get on projects.
So what I know about the connection that veterans have with each other, there's a bond there. At Island Harvest, we have some very, very important programs where we're feeding veterans who are food insecure and really struggling. And the program is successful, but it's most successful when we have a veteran running the program, because there's a trust that's built up. And there's a certain language that happens when two veterans get together. And so for you to have the experience that you've had, and now you can connect with other veterans and help them with insurance, and they can trust you, and you could speak to them honestly and openly. And do you find that's helpful?
Yes, that's actually the most helpful piece in this environment of sales. It's a very relationship-driven business. It's all about who you know and how you can connect with them. And being a veteran has opened up doors for me to close some of my bigger contractors. I've had an account that specifically said, you're a veteran, you're a Marine, I'm a Marine, here's my bonding. And I've gotten an account like that. I've gotten some accounts just from wearing a Marine Corps lapel pin. I had a defense contractor recognize that was a Marine Corps flag. He's like, you're in the military? I said, yes. He's like, I sell to the military. And then he pulled out this chip from his pocket to sell me the product he sells to the military. The next day he called me. He's like, so you do insurance? And I said, yes. And then he's like, okay, here's my insurance, so you could take a look at it. And I'm like, good to go.
There you go.
And that's the bond that we have. And we're some of the most hardworking individuals. There is no, you can't get it done. It's right. Like, I'm going to get it done.
Right.
And we will get it done.
Move forward, right?
There's a common saying in the Marine Corps, and that's adapt and overcome. And you're constantly adapting to changes and overcoming. And that's what I was taught as a young kid with my mother and my aunt, to just push forward.
I like to think of the themes for the different episodes and shows that I have on Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner. And today, with my interview with you, with our conversation, I call this overcoming odds. I look at all you've done in your young life. You're 28 years old. You have so far to go in your life, but you've done so much and you've overcome so much. There are a lot of young people that come through situations like you've come through and are not sitting as successful as you are, even at the age of only 28. If you could just tell me two things that you think were key parts of your life that influenced you, that brought you here today, what would that be?
My biggest influences in my life would have to be my mother and my aunt. My mother and my aunt, they were the backbone to our home. They made sure we always had a roof over our head, made sure we had new clothes on our backs, and we didn't miss anything. as childs growing up. And
Norman, what's your mom's name?
Maria.
Maria, you did an incredible job.
She did. And if it wasn't, you know, it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be as hardworking. Because I know I've seen my mom work every day from sun up to sundown.
Right.
And she never complains. And she's taught me that, hey, we're gainfully employed and, you know, you got
to
work.
We've said it a couple of times. In order to overcome odds, you need to have a mentor. You need to have some structure. You need to have some vision about what the future might be, the positive influence over the negative influence. You had your mom, your aunt, your brother. You had your community. You had an organization like Family Service League that gave you some additional structure and direction that you needed. You had an incredible ESL program in school, which gave you a lot of support as well. And then you found your way into the Marines and to a great company that you work with. You have become an inspiration to many people, Norman, and I imagine that you yourself are going to become a mentor for a lot of young kids in your community and wherever you go.
Yes, and I only hope so. You know, in any way that I can, I try to make a difference and speak to anybody that I can. I always push to encourage individuals to follow their dreams, but to also work hard. If you want something, it's tangible. It's possible. You just got to put in the extra work to get it done.
Well, this has been an absolutely inspiring conversation today, Norman. And I want to thank you for your time and for your positive energy that you give off wherever you go. I know that your future holds a lot of things. And so with all the incredible stuff that you've done in your life, what I'm most excited about is that there's a potential that we're going to go full circle with you, because I understand you're being considered to become a board member at Family Service League.
Yes, so I just recently accepted the request to join Family Service League's board of directors. I look forward to joining them and helping the organization and pitching new ideas on how we could get more involved with the community and create more changes to similar children in my footsteps. Not only do I serve the community, will I be serving the community in that way, but I also serve the community in the town of Huntington on the Huntington Hispanic Advisory Task Force and in the Huntington Anti-Bias Task Force.
That's awesome. So what advice would you give someone who's struggling with a language barrier? As we're closing up today, I'd love to just get that little bit of advice from you.
So for anybody that's struggling with a language barrier, I want to let them know that, hey, it gets easier. And don't be afraid to ask any questions. When I was a kid growing up, I was a kid that always had his hands raised. I could think of a billion and one questions, and I always wanted to know why. So I encourage any kid with anybody, any child with a language barrier to ask questions. You know, if you don't understand something, make sure you get an answer why.
And don't be embarrassed because you don't know the language perfectly, right?
Exactly. And the other thing is, if for me, one of the toughest things was reading out loud in class. I know it could be a little embarrassing with mispronunciations, but just give it a shot and give it your all, and you'll eventually pick up the language.
You're getting involved in your community. You're supporting your community. You're supporting a lot of people around your community. It's inspiring. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us about your life and hopefully giving some inspiration to some other people who are looking to find ways to overcome the odds in their life as well. This has been Conversations with Randy Shubin-Dresner on WHLI 104.7 FM. I'm excited to be here with Norman today. I want to thank you. And I want to thank our sponsor. We're powered by PSEG Long Island. It's great to be back. It's great to be here. I'd love to continue this conversation. Please email me at randy@whli.com. Share your thoughts, comments, and suggestions. I'd really like to hear from you. And thanks to you, our listeners. You have given us your time and allowed me into your busy day to have this very important conversation.